Now in Psalms 23, we'll read our scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff that comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our message this morning is from Psalms 23 and in the first verse, where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And for my friends in Central America, "El Señor is mi pastor, neither me faltará." The Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 23 is undoubtedly one of the best known passages in all the Bible. Most of us learn this passage of scripture, this psalm, as small children. We have found it to be not only for children, but such a comfort to all of us. Maybe in a time of losing a loved one, we find such great comfort in these words. David was a shepherd, and some 3,000 years ago, he wrote these words. It applies to not only David and being in his occupation, but it had to be that David is speaking to us this morning from his heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is his Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is his shepherd. David speaks to us, and you may, in the first reading, think that he's just talking about being a shepherd of sheep. But David looks upon this in a completely a different manner. It's not that David is shepherding sheep. He's talking about his Lord shepherding him. David puts himself in a unique position, as each one of us have done in the past. We are the sheep of our Lord's pastor. And that's what this psalm is all about this morning. Unfortunately, we live in a society where tending sheep is not an ordinary occupation. In fact, I dare say that any of us have ever even known a shepherd and know the life of a shepherd and what his life is like. And I would like to say to you this morning, that if we look at this verse of scripture and we begin to think about what David is saying to us, I believe there's a message, a great and dear message to the hearts of all of God's people. David was a shepherd, and he was known as the shepherd king of Israel. But the passage of scripture, David speaks of Jehovah, Jehovah God, the Lord God of Israel, as his great shepherd. He speaks in the psalm as if he was one of the flock, one of the sheep. When I read this verse of scripture, my mind is not taken really to a field, not taken as sheep wandering to and fro, getting caught in thickets. I'm thinking about my great shepherd, my great Lord shepherd, my good shepherd that covers me, protects me, takes care of me in all of my ways. Look at what David is saying. It is though he is saying, look who my shepherd is, my owner, my manager. Look who my Lord is. This is the testimony of all of those who know our Lord Jesus Christ. We live within this world, And we have managers that are over us. We have family that we care for. But there is one person in all the world that we look to more than all the managers and presidents and senators and representatives and all of those that we are under in this society. We look to our Lord, the great shepherd of our souls this morning. Because after all, he is the first experience of our life being a Christian. When our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to us for the very first time, we became a part of our Lord Jesus Christ. He became our shepherd, our great shepherd. God's people sometimes feel that we are outside of God's camp and troubled on every side. I am here this morning to reassure you that the protection of God's people has nothing to do with your ability. The protection of God's people has nothing to do with who is the head of our government of the United States. But the protection that God's people have has to do with the very hand of God who stretches out and takes us into his bosom and cares for our living soul this morning. It is from this point I wish to speak to you this morning. The loving care of the Good Shepherd. I have 5 points this morning to share with you concerning this passage. And within these 5 points, I want to present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first one that I'd like to share with you today is the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ has chose us as his sheep. One of the most familiar passages is upon your heart at this time. When I talk about Christ choosing us to be his sheep, our minds go to Ephesians 1 in verse number 4, when the scripture says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him and love." But my mind runs to John 15 and verse 16, when the apostle says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask in my Father, he may give it to you." We are the sheep of our Lord's pastor. From the beginning to the very end, it is the love of God in Christ that brings us into this wonderful fold, into this wonderful pasture where our Lord cares for us. The second thing that I'd like to say to you this morning is this: he bought us as his sheep. Buying us has a familiar sound to it. In the Jewish society, when a young man came to an age that he wanted to take a wife, he just didn't go out and put a ring on a girl's finger and make her his wife. There was a society that he dealt with. The first thing he had to do, he had to go to that family and he had to make arrangements with the family. He literally bought that wife. He had to pay a ransom for his wife. We use the examples in the Old Testament where one patriarch went and worked for 7 years for a wife, find out it was not the right one, turned around, worked another 7 years to pay for the one that God had appointed him to have. That's what I call devotion. I wish we had such devotion in this day and time. My point in making is this: our Lord has literally bought us as his own. He has paid the price. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The effect of Christ's death for us is that we are redeemed from slavery, prison, and the right of our possession is with Christ. All that we have, all that we ever shall have, is in this one person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the purchase that has brought us into this union. It's not that I, of all my ability, that I have decided to walk a different road or to take a different turn in my life, or I've decided to do better, or I have resolved that I will never do that again. But the truth is that we are brought into a relationship with God because He has bought us into this relationship. It has nothing to do with my ability again. It has nothing to do with my decision again. It is the love of God that has captivated my heart and soul and has ushered me into the glory of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I remember a conversation that I had with someone I have so much respect for. And the person said, to know that you are of the Lord, that you have the Spirit of Christ within you, that you have this love and mercy within you, is something. I'll never forget when he said that. And what it meant to me, that of all the things that we can say and all the things that we preach, it never gets any deeper than that personal relationship with Almighty God. It's something that I cannot convey to you. It's something that I cannot explain to you that happens when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When God Almighty makes Himself known unto His child. I think about raising children and how so important it is that families, that young one, as soon as that child is born, as soon as it's possible, they'll bring that child to its mother, and that mother holds that child. That child will identify with mother. That child will never lose that identity with the one who brought him into this world. It's necessary. It's vital. But I remember, personal illustration, I remember when my son had his first son, and I told him, son, as soon as all possible, as soon as it's humanly possible, you take that boy and you hold that boy on your chest as your wife held that child to hers. You also take that child and hold that child to your chest too. That child will also identify with you. This identity that I'm talking about this morning is not anything that a mother and father can convey to a child. This relationship, this identity that comes with knowing God and having a shepherd over us and receiving the protection of Almighty God, it's something that is not conveyed by blood in this life, not an inheritance. It is a possession that God gives His people. It is the fact that Christ has bought us. We have been brought into this great relationship with Almighty God. Now, the next thing that I want to say to you about this verse in Psalms 23 is this: He calls us by our name. He calls us by name as His sheep. This is a vital part of what we're talking about this morning. In Isaiah 43 in verse 1 and 2, "But now, thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. you are mine. Does that make you want to shout this morning that Almighty God loved you enough to call you by your name and call you for whatever your first name is this morning? He spoke into your heart and soul and awoke you from a sleep of damnation and brought you into a state of eternal rest. Rest in this life, an eternal rest that will go on throughout all eternity. This relationship that he has caused, that he has spoken to you, continues throughout all times, throughout this life and in the life to come. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Psalms 23 is the most loved passage in all the scripture because it comforts us with the image of the good shepherd caring for his helpless and mindless sheep. Can't you just picture the sheep as they are walking, grazing within the field with their shepherd? And at the giving time, the shepherd may rise up and the shepherd begins to walk and the shepherd speaks to the sheep. And all at once, the sheep's heads pop up because they have heard the voice of the shepherd. And as the shepherd makes a move and he begins to walk, the sheep, by instinct, follows after him. This is a wonderful picture this morning of what God does for all of his sheep. When the Spirit of God speaks your name and calls you by your name, you hear the voice of God. You hear it for the very first time, and by instinct, not human instinct, but by a special revelation of God, as the Lord was resurrected by the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that resurrected Christ is the same Spirit that woke you and brought you awake and brought you into the grace of God, brought you to the knowledge of God, brought you into the desire, the inclination to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he is saying. This is what David is saying within this psalm. Jesus said of the good shepherd, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name and leadeth them out." Then he told the disciples, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine." This week, there was something said of a person. A person had been calling and asking questions about spiritual things. And finally, the person was invited, just come and to hear the word of God. But for some reason, the person says, "Well, I don't want to do that." And my reaction was this. It was a second-hand conversation. And I said, "That's a bad sign." When a person's in trouble, when a person has trouble within his heart and soul, what he is looking for is to hear the voice of God. It is the house of God. It is the preaching of the word of God that comforts and builds us up and strengthens us, puts strength in our hearts and souls. It's not that we shy away from God's word. We run to God's word as those sheep. When they hear the voice of our Lord, the voice of the good shepherd, their heads come up and they begin to make the move toward the shepherd and follow after him. This is a wonderful picture of how God works in our heart. I'm thinking this morning, what a fellowship. What a fellowship it is to know Christ and to be a part of his flock, to be following after our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought of a prayer. Let me hear. Let me hear the voice tenderly calling and find security in knowing that I am yours and you are mine. This is my prayer this morning, that this voice will guide and strengthen me and lead me on toward the things of God and the knowledge of God. Because if I am following after him, I need nothing else. Now the next thing. He makes us his sheep. He makes us his own sheep. The Lord, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalms 100 and verse number 3. It is that the Lord has called us into this flock. It is the Lord that guides us and protects us. It is the Lord that regenerates us and brings us into life. It is the Lord that has made us honorable before God. It is the Lord that has raised us from a low estate to a high estate, from being a beggar on the dunghill to set among the princes, yea, made kings and priests unto God by him. Now, what you've been waiting for this whole time, and it's my last point, it's my fifth point, this is what I've got to say to you. He delights in taking care of his sheep. He delights in taking care of his sheep. This was not something that was not thought out. Before the foundation of the world, he had you in mind. It was the flock of God that has brought about everything that has happened. It was the love of Almighty God for his people that we were brought into what we call the decree of God, that we were purposed to be his children, his sheep of his fold. It was the all planned of God to bring us safely into the fold. This morning, I started by reading to you the 23rd Psalm and the first verse. The International Version, which some of you carry here in the church, renders this verse like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. I shall not lack anything. But do you remember I quoted you just a little line of Spanish this morning from my friends in Central America? And the part of that verse that I quoted you was, nada me faltera, nada me faltera. In the Spanish Bible, that verse, the Lord is my shepherd, and then the last of it is rendered like this, nothing me missing, nothing me missing, nothing in this life. We are missing apart from what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The worst thing in the world is ingratitude. And as Christians, we're guilty sometimes of ingratitude, of complaining and grumbling of what this life is all about, and what this has happened to me, and this has happened to me, forgetting that we have more than all the rest put together, because we have the love of Almighty God. We have the protection of Almighty God. Nothing me missing. I like that rendering from the Spanish Bible. I have an illustration this morning. There was a Sunday school teacher that stood before a class, and she asked this question: is there anyone here this morning that can stand and quote the entire Psalms 23? And several people of her class raised their hand. And there was a small child, about 5 years old, a little girl, and she raised her hand. The teacher was kind of astonished, and she called upon her and said, can you really quote the whole 23rd Psalm? And the little girl stood up and walked to the podium. And she looked at her class, and she bowed. And this is what she said. She said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And then she bowed again and went back to her seat. She might have missed a few verses, but this is what I'm saying to you. She captured the entire psalm. She captured the entire psalm in her own little words. And when she says, that's all I want. If you have him, that's all you want in this life. There's many things that you may acquire in this life. You may acquire great homes. You may acquire great lands. You may acquire great titles and positions in this life. You may have letters before your name and after your name. But there's one thing in life that tops all of the achievements of this life. All of those achievements is not what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, that's all I want. In this verse this morning, I believe that Paul sums it all up in one verse. And that one verse is this in Philippians 4 and verse 19. When he said, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is David's psalm. This is not just a person talking about some sheep grazing on the side of a hill. This is not just a shepherd who spends all of his days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, out living in the wilderness with a bunch of sheep, caring for them. I forgot to tell you one other thing about a shepherd. A shepherd, he might find a sheep in a thicket. He might find a sheep maybe with a broken leg. A shepherd will take a sheep, and he'll take that lamb, and he'll set that leg, and he'll pour maybe oil and wine into the wound, and he'll bind it up. Instead of binding it up and say, there you are, the shepherd is said to take that lamb and put that lamb on his back and carry the lamb until the lamb is able to walk again on its own. It's not that our Lord finds us in ridiculous and silly and stupid places in life, but our Lord finds us and he heals us and he carries us until we can walk again in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nada me faltar, nothing me missing. May the Lord bless you this morning.